Our second reading is 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. A little bit of length to this chapter, 42 verses, so let's buckle up together and give our attention to the infallible, inerrant, and inspired Word of God. Verse 1. Then said Solomon, "The Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever." And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands, for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel shall be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, to unpack everything that we've looked at here would take quite a little bit of time. You know what I'm reminded of as we read this chapter? There are several times when Solomon, during this prayer, will say, and when we pray toward this place, hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place. Did you hear that? You see, Solomon, David, the people of Israel, they were under no illusion that God dwelt in that house. That was the place where he manifested his presence and set his name, but he dwelled in the heavens. This was the place of God's communion with his people. I'm reminded then of Genesis chapter 28. Maybe you are as well. And so Jacob is departing out of the land of promise to go, and he lights on a place called Bethel, although it was not called Bethel at the first. And he says, I'm all alone. He lays down his head that night on the rock that was going to serve as his pillow, thinking that he has been forsaken. The covenant looks to him at a low ebb, although he has been told that he has the birthright and the blessing. It doesn't appear to him that way at all. And then in the middle of the night, something comes to him. It's a vision from the Lord. And the vision, you'll remember, is a ladder. It's a ladder that reaches from heaven to earth, and there are angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And Jacob awakes in the morning, and he says, I guess I wasn't alone after all. Surely this place is the very house of God. It is the gate of heaven. This is exactly what Solomon is saying here. This is the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. Oh, we cry toward this place. We pray toward this place. We offer in this place. But the Ark of the Covenant is there. And inside that Ark is the covenant of our God. What does he mean? That inside the Ark is the covenant of our God. It's the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, the two tables are in that Ark. And within that Ark is the covenant. That's the covenant where the people of God said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. They were sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. Then 70 elders went up into Mount Sinai and had a meal with God in his professed presence before them, that they might eat and drink in his presence. This house is to provide that very presence. It is to testify that God will indeed dwell among men, yet without an illusion that God is somehow spatially oriented and he's lost his residence in heaven. Oh, he's still in heaven. But this is where he has chosen to meet with men and to show them his grace. How many times have we heard that what the Lord did at Mount Sinai was republish the covenant of works? How many times did you hear the word forgive in Solomon's prayer? How much forgiveness is there, beloved, in a covenant of works? Close your eyes. How much do you see? That's right. Zero. Zero forgiveness in a covenant of works. Solomon is asking the Lord to be gracious to his people over and over again. So we have then this wonderful advancement to the true religion of Jehovah, that true covenant of grace. Now the people of God not only have a tabernacle, but they have a palace that is built with particular glory and ornateness to it, that their eyes would be drawn to it as a church under age to see the glory and brightness and jewels and silver and gold and all of those things, that they might be attracted to that place and that they might come there to stretch forth their hands before God and to be a people professed in covenant with him. And yet, the glory of that house is eclipsed by the glory of the house that we live in, the house that Christ builds. Paul will remind us of that, won't he, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that the glory of that house was a real glory, but fading. It was a fading glory, just like the glory faded from the face of Moses. That glory of that house was designed to fade. But the house that has come in its room exceeds in glory, beloved. It is a spiritual glory far beyond any earthly conception. The Lord right now in the sermon series, in our readings, he is pressing us with a particular idea. It has come to us again and again and again. Have you heard it? We, like William Wordsworth said, who was not a Christian, but understood this, that the world is too much with us. We are too concerned about the world, too concerned about its things. It is a remarkable saying to us, beloved, isn't it? That the glory of the latter house, the house that Jesus Christ himself promised and is building today, exceeds in glory that house that was erected by Solomon. Why is that a hard thing for us to conceive of? Because the world is too much with us. We see it today, don't we? In buildings that are built as churches that are, well, they look more like Solomon's temple than they look like the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't they? Oh, I don't begrudge anyone from having a nice building. That's not the point. The point is, do we see that which is not seen? In that next chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle will talk about us seeing that which is not seen. And that's how we behold that glory, beloved. We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Having faith in Christ means that we have access to a glory beyond Solomon's temple, as beautiful and as wonderful as it was. So, not much on the detail today, more in the theme. What a wonderful prayer that Solomon offers. His example, the king hits his knees before the people, because the king must bow to the King of Kings. Stretches up his hands toward heaven. You know what it is to stretch your hands up to heaven, right? You know what that means? Of course you do, parents. Every time your children do this, you know exactly what that means. That you depend upon God, that you seek his help, that you call upon his name, that you recognize there is no help in yourself. And Solomon, the king of that day, before that God bows and lifts up his hands to heaven, that the Lord would be with him to perform all that he is asking that day. Just like a child reaches toward the sky for their parents. Well, there's so much more that we could say on that chapter. But with that, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms 141.